Everyone, welcome to episode 100 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. As you could tell by the music there, our guest today is none other than Bushwhacker Luke of the now WWE Hall of Famers, the Bushwhackers. Looking forward to that conversation, and I can thank a friend of mine, Jerry Travelstead, for setting that up. Jerry is a superintendent here in Southern Illinois at a school district, Pinckneyville 204, and he's actually a wrestler as well, and wrestles for Stride Pro Wrestling. He's actually going to be going up for the Legacy Championship on November 5th, and that's where Bushwhacker Luke is going to be. He's going to be wrestling also up in Pinckneyville at School 204. It's going to be a great night of wrestling action. Heath Hatton, Axe Allwirt, lots of local favorites are going to be a part of this show, and there's going to be a meet and greet with Bushwhacker Luke, and I talked to him a little more in-depth about not only the fact that he's still traveling and wrestling, but also the fact some of his highlights from his career, and he looks back on his time with the Bushwhackers, and before that they were known as the Sheepherders and the Kiwis. He and Butch Miller have a very rich history together, and he talks about Butch Miller, and his health is actually improving, and I was happy to hear that, so be sure to stay tuned for all of the interview coming up just in a few minutes. Going to run down a couple of other quick news and notes of the day. And I haven't seen a whole lot going on in the world of professional wrestling, quite honestly. Been laying kind of low over the weekend, unplugged for a little bit, went to the Big Muddy Brew Fest with my fellow craft beerkin Tom Harness. You can check out Craft Beerkins on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. And actually ran into a couple of listeners of the show out there, Amy and Luke Lay. Luke is constantly sending me updates about listening to the show and saying that he enjoys it, so I really enjoy and appreciate the fact that he enjoys the show, because, you know, this is all for fans. This is to get the word out about professional wrestling, and hopefully, you know, now that indie wrestling is kind of making its way back into Southern Illinois, talking about some of the great men and women who are involved with that. So Amy and Luke, thanks for listening. I appreciate you guys being a part of My 123 Cents. So you've been following and supporting the show, the blog and the podcast and the Facebook page for a very long time, and I do appreciate that. Also want to thank and give a shout out to Jason DeBoer, and I think I'm saying his name right. Jason is Blanchard Buzz on social media and has been one of those guys too who has been a longtime listener and supporter and a friend of the show, and he actually went on to iTunes, left a review. I had put that out there a while back and was going to pick somebody. Well, Jason was really the only one who did it. So Jason, thank you for doing that. And for that, you will get a My 123 Cents. And probably I'll raid the Craft Beerkins prize pack too, because I know you are a fellow craft beer drinker. So I'll get that out to you very soon as well. Want to talk real quick about TNA. Read an article just earlier this morning that as early as this week, some of the talent on TNA could declare themselves as free agents. The company is facing a lot of financial problems right now. Billy Corgan is suing now, and the state of Tennessee has actually filed a lien against TNA for not paying taxes. So I'm not sure what the future holds for TNA Impact Wrestling right now, but it is not looking good at this point. There is a lot of talent on that roster, though, that I hate to see get kind of lost in the shuffle. I think WWE NXT could pick up some of these men and women, but I just don't think there's room for everyone. Hopefully Ring of Honor will take some, Lucha Underground. But hopefully, you know, Billy Corgan can work a deal out and come up with something. I know there was talk of rebranding, and I think that's what TNA needs now. TNA itself needs to go away, but there needs to be something else, that kind of the phoenix that rises from the ashes, if you will. So, and I hope that something does come out of it and we get something good. Over on my123cents.com, the blog page, I have talked this week about Dolph Ziggler. He, of course, won the Intercontinental Championship and, more importantly, saved his career. It was interesting, WWE went with the main event, or what was perceived to be the main event first. Of course, the presidential debate was happening that night, so I think that played a role in that. Lots of other factors, but it was good to see AJ Styles retain. I liked at one point how they did do the double tap out. It's interesting to see what happens next with AJ. Of course, John Cena is chasing that title number 16. I think they are going to make a bigger deal out of this than originally, and I do think Cena will eventually win it. Chad and I talked about that in episode 99, so go back, listen to some past episodes. If you're a first-time listener, let me know what you think. You can leave a review on jitterymonkey.com or, of course, here on iTunes as well. And thanks for listening. Now, without any further ado, I give you Bushwhacker Luke.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, I am excited. Joining me right now, WWE Hall of Famer, one half of the tag team known as the Bushwhackers, Cousin Luke. Thank you so much, Mr. Luke Williams, for joining us today for the podcast. And I know you are going to be visiting Southern Illinois very soon in Pinckneyville. You're going to be taking on a fellow by the name of Christian James. Tell me a little bit about what you're up to these days, and obviously still wrestling very active.
At the moment, mate, I'm getting excited about coming to Pinckneyville. I'm getting my marching boots on because I'm coming in there, and I'm going to give this Christian James, whatever his name is, a good down under ass with him.
And you are obviously still very active, wrestling all over the country still. Tell me a little bit about...
All over Europe, too. All over Europe, mate. I still work in England and in Germany and some of the places on the in Europe.
So how do you...
I try to keep myself very busy.
Yeah, how do you do that? I mean, you've been in the business for so long now. How do you keep things going and staying active and obviously visiting Southern Illinois here very soon to get in the ring and to have some action?
Yeah, well, mate, I have a fitness center on Clearwater Beach, Florida, called Clearwater Beach Fitness, right above Hulk Hogan's Beach Shop. On the beach, when I'm on the road, I'm there, and I try to keep myself in shape, and I thank the man upstairs that I'm still going around the world and doing what I love to do. I think if I stop doing it, my whole body will cease.
I understand that. It has been an amazing ride. I remember I started watching wrestling in 83, 84, and I remember at that time you were teaming up, obviously, with Butch Miller. You were known as the Sheep Herders back then, a very interesting tag team duo, very hands-on, I don't want to say violent per se, but I remember some of those matches you had.
No, I'm going to say it, mate. Because it's been written in many magazines and written and talked about. We were hardcore before hardcore became a name brand.
That is true.
We were doing four-way chain matches, barbed wire cage matches, fire matches from the 70s, late 70s onwards. You know, a lot of people, we weren't doing the light bulbs and the thumbtacks. We were just chairs and tables and, you know, whatever furniture was there. And we were doing a lot of four-way chain matches. And of course, the Asian death match was, you know, with boards, pine boards wrapped with barbed wire. It's called Asian death matches. So more or less, we started a lot of this wild stuff in the late 70s and early 80s.
So how do you get convinced to doing something like that? Did somebody have to talk you guys into that, or were you game and ready to go?
No, we were game ready to go. We saw that we were two foreign guys. We came over to North America in 1972. And at the time I had Butch on the chain. We were Sweet William. We were known as the Kiwis. It was Sweet William and the Brute Miller. And then, but they changed his name because there was already a Brute in the States, a guy called the Brute Barnard. So it was changed from Sweet William to Nick Crazy Nick Carter, and we wasn't changed to, we didn't become the Sheep Herders till 1978 or 79. That's when we became the Sheep Herders. We were known as the New Zealand Kiwis. Kiwis is the nickname for New Zealanders.
Okay, I do remember the Kiwi moniker as well. And then obviously, I guess it was about 88 or 89, you guys headed to WWE. And became
88, yeah.
In 88 and became the Bushwhackers. Now, talk us through that. How did you guys go from these intense, hardcore, violent matches to becoming fun-loving guys known as Luke and Butch, Cousin Luke, Cousin Butch, and eating the sardines and doing that arm wave?
Oh, man, that was easy. You know, we were the NWA at the time out of Charlotte, which was the second biggest company in the country, which NWA became WCW. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we were them at the time, and that was, you were wrestlers. You were known as wrestlers with NWA. But with WWE, became personnel, celebrities. It was a different thing altogether. You became celebrities, and of course, the celebrity market is much more money. And that, and hence, we changed. That was quite easy to change. I go back to it. We were working at the time. We'd just done something with Lex Luger and Mulligan's son. What's his name?
Barry Windham?
Barry Windham and that. They were called the Twin Towers. And then we just finished with the Rock and Roll Express, and we're just starting to do something with them. We just shot the TV thing, and I got the call from New York. Of course, we flew up to New York one day, and flew in the morning, and had the meeting, went in and had a meeting with Vince, and Vince said to us, "Sir, I'd like you guys to be on board the ship and that, but I want to change you, you know, change your name, and I'd like you guys to be good guys." And of course, I piped up and said, "You know, bring us in as bad guys and turn us good. And you don't tell Caesar what to do." He says, "I don't do things that way." You know, he says, "I'll bring you up every week. We'll do vignettes, which is 2-minute vignettes, small movies, and then we'll get your new character over." Now, we didn't know who we were going to be or what we were going to be. And then, you know, he said to me, "And Butch," he says, "you know, I'd like you to be between the Moondogs and the Sheep Herders, in between them and that. But I want you as good guys."
That's a good analogy.
We get home. A day later, or 2 days later, there's a contact in the mail. Butch Ringfield says, "I've got a contact here, but I think it's sent to the wrong guys. It's got the Bushwhackers." And I said, no. I said, that's us, because he wants not in the name. So hence, in that, the Bushwhackers, and hence we said, well, the Moondogs have been on USA Network for 4 or 5 years, and the Sheep Herders have been on Ted Turner's network from 1980. We were on and off that Ted Turner's network from 80, every time we went back to NWA, and then we're working with NWA affiliates, so we've seen a lot on Turner Network. So Butch says to us, "Well, you know, let's create something different." We always threw our arms up when we went out of the ring as the bad guys, and then so hence the marching. He said, "We're going to march to the ring," and we put the head licking together, and hence the Bushwhackers were born. And then we had a lot of, just as you said, how could you change? You know, we're professionals. Mm-hmm. Money talks. You know, I had a lot of people come up and say, "How could you go from being hardcore specialists, you know, and all those different kind of matches to being a comedy?" And that was the easy answer. Money. Yeah. You know, because WWE, the merchandise was the big thing.
Sure. Did you think back then that it would grow into, you know, when you guys first came over and Obviously, as you mentioned, the merchandising, the marketing aspect of things, Vince McMahon was a genius with that kind of stuff. And now, you know, 20 plus years later, you and Cousin Butch were inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Did you ever imagine when you got started so long ago that it would kind of come to this?
No way. Hey, I started in 1962, mate. And then Butch started in 66. We started tagging in 66, but we didn't just start traveling the world until 68. And we come over here in 71 and 72. No, we never thought we'd go to that plateau. But, you know, we saw where we'd go. You know, we had a different style, mate. We were like, we weren't big guys, which was about, at that time, which was much heavier than me, 15 pound heavier. We were like, we worked like two pit bulls, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we did some of our biggest houses back in the early 80s, and late 70s was guys like, you know, big guys, 300-pound guys. We did big money with big arenas and that, you know. And, of course, we made it down in Puerto Rico. We worked all of Latin countries and that. We sold out a lot of Latin arenas and that because they love blood and guts. And we were doing 25,000, you know, buildings of 25,000 or ballparks in the 70s through barbed wire and all the crazy stuff.
Was there a tag team that you and Butch particularly liked working with over any others? Did you have favorite opponents through all that time?
We had, you know, the Rock and Roll Express. You know, we worked with a lot of good teams. We worked with, as a team, Steamboat and Youngblood. Youngblood is dead, of course, now, but Ricky Steamboat and Chris, I forget his first name. They were one team of Carolinas were a great team to work with. The Rock and Roll Express were a great team to work with. And here's two guys with big hearts, Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
We worked against them for Bill Watts for 9 months. You know, we took the bolts off Ted DiBiase and Dr. Death, and we ran with them. We back and forth with the Fantastics, and they were big, but we were doing barbed wire cage matches. We pulled houses all over the place for the Watts.
Yeah, some great memories from those early days of when I started watching, and then of course. By the time you guys came to WWF, you know, it was the Rougeau brothers, the Brainbusters, the Nasty Boys.
One of the first team was the Rougeaus. Then we had a year and a half with the Russians.
Oh, that's know, right. The Bolsheviks.
Nikolai Koloff and Boris. We even took them down to New Zealand, and we drew the biggest, at that time, we drew the biggest houses ever they had in New Zealand. With the two Russians.
That's right. I forgot about that feud. So, how is Butch these days?
Good, mate. What happened was in 2001 we came back from a match on a Sunday night, and Tuesday we were working independently. We were going to the Columbus, the Ohio State Fair in Columbus. I called Butch up on Monday night. I say, I'll pick you up at such a time. He was only 5 minutes from my home on the way to Tampa Airport. We lived over on where I live, on the beaches, mm-hmm. which is, you know, 35 minutes to the airport. He says, I think I've dislocated something, and I can't say, you know, I don't think I'll come. I'll go to the chiropractor. And I said, well, he says, you know, so I sent my stepson to pick him up. They had to put him in a wheelchair and to take him to the car, to take him to the chiropractor. Meanwhile, I'm up north working. On the way home, the next morning, I fly home Wednesday morning, and I call him. And no reply, no reply. I said, we better go and call him. Better go in and see him. He was laying in the bed with a phone about 10 or 12 inches from his hand, He was paralyzed. The staph infection had gone right through his body. He was laying in his own pee and feces and that. Rushed him to the hospital, and they did tests on him, and that he was in intensive care for 11 days. They had to strap him down, and his lungs were packing up. They put a tube in his throat. He went from a he went from 240 to 150 pounds.
Wow.
And then anyhow, 3 months later, it took him 8 or 10 weeks in the hospital, or maybe 8 or 9 weeks in the hospital, and then 3 weeks in the hospital behind it for the rehabilitation. And he got back, and he says, I'm hanging up my boots, and I'm going back home to my daughters and my grandchildren. So he headed home in 2002, the start of 2002. In 2010, he woke up in hospital. You know, when he left, he was all cleared up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He went back in that, and in 2010, he woke up in hospital. 4 days of his life, he was delirious. The staff had come back, and it was neutralized for all those years. It was in his hip. So the doctors looked down. They asked him, we can put a drain in you, or you can take your hip out. He said, take my hip out. He was 4 years without his hip. So when we went in the Hall of Fame, he had just had a hip put in about 4 to 6 months beforehand. He had no hip for 4 years, and he was on double crutches, so he had a stoop. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Arthritis got in his back. 4 years without one hip, and on crutches, arthritis got in, and now he's got it. Now he's straightening up. He's not fully straight yet, but he's getting around. You know, he's got a cane down again, but he's getting around a year later without crutches and that. And I hope to bring him back next year to do some conventions and some signings.
That's awesome.
Being back home, yeah. So that he's improved. His health improved a lot since. He went back and he came on WrestleMania. But he was fired up for WrestleMania. You know, as you heard, you know, if you watched the Hall of Fame, you know he was fired up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys always had that intensity and that fire. And it was great to see you both get your due and get the nod and go into the WWE Hall of Fame. Do you have any kind of – do you – work with WWE at all anymore? I know you did the Hall of Fame ceremony, but do you do any of the other events with them?
I'm on a legend contract, mate. The game, the new 2K17 came out yesterday, and we're on that game.
So oh, awesome!
They put 3 months ago, they were 4 months ago. They put the battle pack out. You know, new dolls of us, and then they keep us. You know. We've got a legend contract, and they keep us alive. They don't bring, you know, they don't use me on television, or you know, with like they use other legends, because they say that Butch, we were a tag team, and Butch was with me all the time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But they keep us. Well, the new game, we're on the last game, 2016 game, and we're on the new 2017 game.
Well, that is
that
great.
That was launched yesterday. And then, so, you know, I talk to Butch every week, and that is, as I'm looking forward to him coming back over here. You know, he won't be in the ring, of course, but we'll be going around doing signings and that. I hope, you know, early next year, or, you know, halfway, quarter way, around the Mania time, or just past that.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to say tonight before we wrap things up?
I read the card, and there's a lot of teachers that work in this. There's a school, School 24, what is the name of the school?
Pinckneyville School 204.
204. I see there's a lot of people who teach at the school involved in the card. So this will be one hell of a night. You know, I see one of them's in a, someone's in a ladder match, and the other one's in a three-way match, and another kind of match.
Yeah, it's going to be a very intense show. I can't wait for it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to meeting you. Is there any – do you have social media? Our fans, how can fans reach out to you?
Yeah, for all the people out there who are going to listen to this, because I have start with – I have Instagram, Bushwhacker Luke. I have Facebook, Bushwhacker Luke. I have Twitter, Bushwhacker Luke. So, maybe by then my new website, the old website, bushwhackerluke.net, but bushwhackerluke.com, I think it's about another a week or so, and that'll be, the new website will be launched. So, I got plenty of social media.
Well, that is awesome. I will connect with you there as well, as so will our listeners. Thank you again for taking the time to do this. I appreciate what you do for the fans, and look forward to meeting you at the meet and greet. There's also going to be happening at that Pinckneyville show. And please let Cousin Butch know that we're thinking about him as well.
I will, mate. I'm looking forward to coming to Pinckneyville, shaking a few hands, and maybe licking a few heads.
Awesome.
How about that, mate?
Sounds great. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
I'll see you there, bro. See you there.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Whoa!
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.